This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Muslim Girls podcast. I know it's been kind of a while. What can I say? I've just been really busy. Just a little update. I got a new job and I'm working on some really cool projects, but they're taking up a lot of my time. I even started doing some art stuff again. It's been kind of busy, but alhamdulillah, I'm able to get back into recording. I have new episodes that are coming up soon. And this episode, actually, I have something a little bit different and I feel a little special. First, the guest that I have with me is not a female, rather it's a male, and this person is my brother. My brother Ali is 2 years older than me, and he is the father of two beautiful, beautiful girls. And, you know, sometimes I like a male's perspective on certain things. So I thought it'd be interesting to bring him on to talk about different things. And I find that he's pretty involved in his daughter's lives and is just like a very present father in a way that I don't see very often. So I hope that you guys enjoy the conversation and a little bit of banter, to be honest. But what do you expect when you put two siblings together, right? So enjoy the episode. Hi, Ali. Welcome to the podcast. Congratulations on being the first non-female to be featured.
Is this a female podcast?
I mean, it's supposed to be. Well, it's female-oriented, so you're on to sexism. Give a male... No, you're on to give a male perspective.
About women.
About women. No, your experience of raising... Ali is my brother, and he is a father of two beautiful girls. They're seven and eight.
Great aunt.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, I have 16 nieces and nephews. If I can keep up with around what age range they're in, then I think I'm okay. As I was saying, it is a podcast that is centered around Muslim women and like their experiences and their stories. I'm not necessarily opposed to a male perspective because I feel like that in order to understand and to like progress in any type of conversation when we talk about the female experience, to think that you can't have a male's perspective, I think is silly, because how else would we understand the way that the opposite sex views our issues if we don't have like those conversations? But regardless, like you being a father of two young girls, I think it's interesting to understand like how
I see my daughters and how I see them being raised as Muslims in America.
Yeah, not just that, but like I feel like you have an interesting perspective. I feel like you try or you work really hard towards trying to find a balance in giving them their independence and teaching them to be independent, strong woman. But at the same time, it's not like, you know, you're...
Just letting them loose.
Yeah, like you're still placing boundaries, you know, because obviously Islam has boundaries on both men and women. But we have boundaries, we have like a line that we draw. And I feel like sometimes giving some parenting skills is you feel like you need to be really cool and really open-minded. And then they disregard the
boundaries.
The boundaries and where we draw a line as Muslims. And so this is like why I wanted to have a conversation is I feel like you have an interesting perspective on how you draw those or how you want to draw those lines or boundaries for your girls. So first, I want to just start off with saying like, as a father of two girls, mashallah, how do you feel? Do you ever feel like stressed out? Girls are a handful.
Stressed out would be a kind of a strong word. I do worry and think about a lot of things, but I wouldn't say stressed out. I love my daughters to death, as you know, and I wouldn't trade them for anything. So it's a balancing act. It's more of a balancing act with girls, I think, than boys. I don't have boys. I would still worry about my boys and think about stuff, but I just think boys would be a little bit easier to maybe raise than girls in a way.
Well, do you think, because I feel like a lot of like boys get away with a lot of things that they shouldn't be getting away with just because they're boys. Shouldn't there be like the same boundaries placed on both?
Oh, yeah, I'm not talking about, so let's talk about the boundaries. We'll just say the lines. The lines are both the same for both, right? The thing is, though, girls, like, there's certain things that, you know, you have to balance with them. And, like, okay, so I'll give you an example with the hijab, okay? Something that I have to do with my daughters and not with my sons if I ever had some, right?
Technically,
yes. Oh, but, you know, yeah, so to a certain extent, yes. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, you know, my girls wear the hijab now as they're young, and they don't have to, but, you know, they do when they want to, when they don't. So I build that, so then hopefully in the future they could do it themselves without me ever having to worry about it, and mm-hmm. that's going to be their choice in the future. But my boys, I would never have to, like, build that around. I would have to do, of course, something else similar, because,
of
course,
boys are different. But it's obviously a different type
yes,
of...
Yes, yes.
Since you brought up the topic of hijab, and I feel like that's, like, the first thing or the prominent thing that people talk about when they talk about Muslim women... I don't want to go off of a tangent, but obviously the hijab is not the only thing that, like, yes. you know, is a measure of a woman's yes. iman, but it is something that we're going to talk about right now. You have two daughters, and I feel like they both, or at least right now in the current age that they are, they view it kind of differently. You have one who's, like, really excited for it and one who's not. How do you balance between those two?
Well, the younger one's now getting more excited for it. She'll wear it, you know, more and more now that we're going out, she'll want to wear it. Not as much as the older one. The older one used to do it a lot younger.
Did you tell them to wear it?
No, I mean, in the beginning, I used to try to not to tell them to wear it, but I used to, like, encourage them to wear it. So I went and bought them a lot of different types and different styles.
So you encouraged it.
Encouraged it. And I told them from day one they don't have to wear it when they don't want to. If they go to school, they could take it off. Like, my youngest one, when she started wearing it to school in the beginning, she used to take it off a lot. And I used to be, like, perfectly fine with that, to a point where a teacher one time came and told me, like, hey, you know, your daughter always takes it off. Is that okay? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. If she wants to take it off, she wants to leave it on. It's 100%. I've always told her she could just take it off, throw it. So sometimes she'd probably wear it for, like, 30 minutes to an hour and get tired of it, and I'd perfectly be fine and okay with it. My older one used to wear a lot more from day one. She was just more, I would say, attached to it.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes she would not want to take it off.
Yeah, sometimes she'd be in the house not wanting to take it off. So she really liked it. This is one of the other things that, you know, when we say about, you know, the difference between, and when you bring up the hijab point just a second ago about how it's not the essential thing of a Muslim woman, okay? A woman could be a Muslim and not wear the hijab 100%. I agree with that. That's something that I told you once before, that my daughter talked to me before, where she sees a Muslim that doesn't wear a hijab, and then she gets confused in a way. Mm-hmm. Or that's something I might not have to deal as much with the boy. Again, they have their own separate issues, but that was just one of them where she'd be like, you know, this older Muslim woman, you told me, you know, mostly when you're supposed to be older. So that's something I have to, you know, break it down to her and tell her, you know, just because she doesn't wear it doesn't mean she's less of a Muslim or not a Muslim. You know, they're just different, you know.
Experiences,
different, you know, viewpoints of certain things, even though hijab is
it's mandatory.
It's not.
But dressing modestly is mandatory in Islam for Muslims.
Yes, but we sometimes, Muslim men, like you said, we're not Muslim men, but just Muslims in general, where we look at, even women in general, they look at, for example, things that a girl does, like maybe she doesn't wear a hijab, and look at it way more different than maybe a boy that does certain things, but yeah, then a girl not wearing hijab,
is like,
oh my God.
They even, you know, they start questioning her faith and if she's a good Muslim or a good person, and that's kind of how, unfortunately, things are.
It's an individual problem, I think, because I think if we as Muslims, as individuals, start just worrying about ourselves and our family, and then we move away instead of just worrying about what other people
do
and wear.
And that's, like, a big problem, is focusing so much on what other people are doing and not really within our own families and raising them. But so when it comes to the hijab, like, let's say your daughters get older and they're struggling with it, how do you deal with that? I ask you this because your wife is someone who was not raised in the West or in the U.S., and you were, so I'm sure she has, like, a different perspective, and maybe there's a lot of things that she can't relate to your daughters the way that you can. So I feel like I understand why you come in or step in so much, and you are so involved because you want to make sure that your daughters have someone that is going to understand them and be, like, empathetic towards what they're saying, like, their experience as little girls who are going to grow up to be Muslim women in a country that is, like, you know, not a Muslim country. Yes. It's not the same experience as your wife.
So that's one thing I explain to my wife also sometimes, is that, you know, she doesn't understand that she went to school, wore a hijab, and it wasn't that big of a deal for her, you know, because...
It would almost be the opposite if she took it off.
Yeah, you know, there was no maybe either teasing or looking out weird or not. Now she doesn't know my daughters would have to deal with that. She won't see that. She won't see, you know, lots of certain things, you know. And you know, the funny thing is we as Muslims also put so much emphasis on the hijab as just the headscarf, the scarf itself. And it's not just that. And I try to also explain to my daughter that it's not just the headscarf. It's the whole dress code, if you will. So,
your body, but it's also your manners and how you carry yourself, how you treat people, your etiquette.
So, well, that was the first step, is the way you dress. The second step was also your mannerism. Just because you wear a hijab doesn't mean that you could, you know, maybe, for example, maybe flirt and talk to boys and all that. That's another
go to part the club.
anything. But just to give you an example. So, of course, my wife won't understand certain aspects of that. And so, like you said, I would have to step in and be like, you know, like, you don't understand how this society was. I was, our parents didn't know what we were going through when we went to school.
Yep.
So I know what it's like. And even I still don't know the extent how kids are nowadays, you know. So it's a hard balancing act that you have to do. Try to let my wife understand and then also let my kids understand.
No, but it's commendable that you're even stepping in, because in a way I want to say, like, you don't have to. Obviously you have to. It's your father. You're the father. It's your job. But unfortunately, I don't feel like you see that a lot in which... Like, a lot of dads kind of leave the parenting when it comes to girls to the mom because they think you're a woman, you know best, or you can relate. But sometimes it's not a matter of relating just because you're of the same gender. It's a matter of relating because of the environment that you grew up in, the type of school that you went to, stuff like that. Okay, so one of them comes up to you and says she gets bullied, she doesn't like it, she wants to take it off.
Okay, so for example, again, different age levels, different everything. I would try to walk it through, because getting bullied is I'm not going to say a part of life, but everybody eventually gets either bullied or made fun of and to a certain extent, or, you know, things happen in life that will have to shape you up, you know, whether you don't like them or don't like them. So I'm going to try to teach my daughters about that. But let's just say when they're old enough and they're, you know, I can't say what age or something, but, you know, they just don't want to wear the hijab, an adult, and they just don't want to wear it. That's something I thought about a lot. Like, how would I react? And I would love to say, again, you know, easier said than done, that I would have an open heart and be like, okay, you know, that is their choice at the end of the day once they become adults. As long as I do my part when they're young and teaching them, like you say, right from wrong to the best of my abilities and the way I can, and then leaving the rest to them. And I'm hoping they make the right choice. Like you said, you know, when we're doing the boundaries, it's not that I'm doing it for them. We're kind of doing it together. Like, I tell them, like, hey, let's make boundaries. And, you know, we're kind of doing it together. So even when they themselves have become adults, they will make their own boundaries that are similar to the ones that we made. You know, of course, everybody's different. Everybody's going to have a little different things. If they don't want to wear the hijab, I want to say I'd kind of be, like, you know, sad, or...
Yeah.
I wouldn't treat them differently. And I've always wanted to keep an open relationship with my daughters, that they would be able to one day come and tell me that they don't want to wear it, instead of just hide it from me. I'd rather them come and tell me they don't want to wear it than them to wear it in front of me, than just say they're still in school, go to school and take it off. So that's why I never want them to feel like they're forced to wear it.
At the end of the day, you want to preserve the relationship that you have with your daughters, because ultimately, no matter what they decide growing up, a better relationship with you is probably going to yield better results in their upbringing and how, like, in the decisions that they make, they'll probably make. But I'm sure there's studies, actually, you know, I'm gonna assume there's studies out there that show that a better relationship with your parents, you're more likely to make more positive decisions because you feel like you have that support to make better decisions in the future.
It's not even about making better decisions. It's even when you make a mistake, you could go to the right channels. For example, my daughter made a mistake and she comes and tells me, I am the best person in suit for her to try to fix that problem, to where if she's scared to tell me and she goes tells her friends, even if her friends have a good idea of them to fix it, but it comes out that I might find out, then they go, oh, no, we can't do that. Let's go a worser way, just so your father doesn't know or your mother doesn't know or as somebody. So they try to hide it and cover it and make another problem that's even worse than the first mistake. So when they come to me directly, you know, and I've told them this plenty of times, even though they're still young, I'm like, if anything, you ever do anything, I don't care what it is, you come to me telling me about it, I'll forgive you. Even if I'm a little mad, you know, maybe remind me, be like, hey, you promised if we came and told you. And I would try to control myself and be like, okay, you know what? Since you came to me, you know, after you made a mistake, let's fix the mistake.
You don't want someone else to have to be the source of advice to your own kids. You want to be that source of advice.
Absolutely, yes. It has to be also from, like, which makes sense sometimes, but from both parents. I also try to tell my wife this, so we have to, we both, because there might be some woman issues that my kids might only want to tell their mom, maybe. I try not to hopefully keep it. I've told them to keep it open with me for with whatever and however, but, you know, there might be something that they might just want to talk with their mom with, too embarrassed maybe to talk to their to me with. So I try to explain sometimes to my wife also, like, we have to keep an open open channel, open doors with our kids to come and, you know, be open, talk to us about anything. You know, my kids sometimes, they want to do lots of things, you know, that, I don't know if I ever told you the story. I used to always tell it's your choice. Whenever you want to wear it, you wear it. Whenever you don't have to wear it. It's 100% your choice. You don't have to worry about nobody. Well, she came to me, Baba, you said it was my choice, right? I said, yes, 100% your choice. She's like, no, it's not my choice. And I'm like, what do you mean? She's like, no. Mama made me wear it today, and I told her I don't want to wear it.
What did you say?
I told her, don't worry about you. I'm going to have to talk with her. So I had to go talk to her tomorrow and tell her, look, if she says she doesn't wear it, my wife understood and said, okay, 100%. So, but I was like, if she doesn't want to wear it, she says, I don't want to wear it, just say, okay, no problem. You know, just to the side, it's okay. Well, let's do
something. That's cute that she came up to you, because she's like, you said this, and it's not happening. Being as your father of, again, two girls, you're, you know, inshallah, in the future, they're going to get older. And when it comes to marriage, obviously there's what Islam lays down, and then there's like what's culturally like acceptable or like the norms within our own culture. But you have like kind of a very, I was going to say open-minded, but more so it's like a strict view of the Islamic guidelines towards marriage.
Yes.
Can you explain that a little bit?
Instead of saying, yeah, which is, I like the way you said it. I'm not open-minded in a way, because open-minded, I think, is what tradition most people do. Like, our tradition's this way.
Yeah.
Islamic, it's okay, because our tradition is overrules, I guess, some people.
Yeah, they
so, prefer it. So that's something I worry about a lot, is marriage for my kids, you know, and even though it's, at the end of the day, up to her.
Yeah, okay, so we don't date in Islam, but we have ways in which a girl, like, I feel like we set these boundaries through the culture of allowing the parents to take so much more control over everything rather than the two people that are deciding to get married to each other, in which I feel like Islam promotes a lot of things that we just don't practice, you know, like, for example, obviously everything happens with chaperones, but you're able to communicate with that person. You're able to see that person. You're able as a woman and as a man to ask freely any questions that you want. Like, you have the all, you can take as much time or as little time as you want. Like, there's all these things that I guess you could almost say Islam left not necessarily open-ended, but there's no rules on how long you can take to decide and get to know someone and get to know their family and like all of these things, but also how a girl or a man can decide who they want to marry, what that looks like. And sometimes, you know, it's not of the same culture, it's not of the same race.
I think most people get scared. But then, I don't know, maybe still.
I don't understand it.
So it doesn't make sense at that point. I mean, you want them to talk and maybe get to learn each other. So then, you know, they could make the decision themselves. Maybe they
not
do.
Maybe, but they should.
Yeah, they should. You know, well, they should have been talking about. Well, it depends on my daughter. If she says no, if she sees them, doesn't like
them.
Oh, you know,
yeah. I'm saying.
But I'm saying if they go to that, yeah, you know, if they hit it off, they say they want to get married, then they do. And if they don't, then no, you know.
Yeah.
I do believe, technically, like with me, like just from my experience, that I think if you look for somebody's like akhlaq and like religion, like make sure you know they're
their
you know
stuff.
I think then after that you'll build a relationship with somebody, you know. It's a building thing, regardless of, because you know, talking to somebody for even a year, just talking, I don't think at the end of the day we'll ever get even close to when you're actually married with somebody.
Well, yeah, you don't know anyone until...
Yes, until you, that's what I'm saying.
But you do get to know a little bit more of the person.
100%, 100%. But to me, this is what I'm saying, is that, like, if... it's again, it all comes back to my daughter. So if it's up to my daughters, my daughter to say, you know what, Dad, what do you think? Do you think I should marry this person? Be like, you know what, you know, let's pray. Let's, you know, maybe...
Well, you got to get to know him, too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I would get to know him. No, but I'm saying, get, you know... But even I would never know him.
Of course. And yeah, that is true, because I always say, like, it doesn't matter how much time the dad, the brother spend with
because,
a guy, because he's only going to, first of all, show his
best side.
The goodness in
of
him.
Of course.
Yes.
He's not like, so, but you still want to know somebody, because you could catch habits or characters,
right,
that he might not know. But regardless, is that And then you leave, you know, you do, I think if we, as long as I do my job and my daughter does her job, and then the rest we leave to Allah.
Tawakkul.
Yeah, tawakkul. That's the way I look at it. Again, it's not something that's going to be easy, easier said than done. And in a lot of ways, it's something that I think about, but I try to keep this open door right now with my daughters. I talk to my daughters about a lot of things that some people might say, oh, they're kind of too young for you to talk to them about anything when it comes to, you know, hijab. So I talk to them about marriage. I'll talk to them. I've sit sometimes with them and just, we talk about stuff and let them ask questions so they could kind of get an understanding. Even so, when they're raised up, they don't think certain things are either taboo or too scared to ask. If you talk to them now, when they're, I want to say more open, you know, kids right now, like I could sit with my daughters and they'll ask me question after question after
they're
question
sponges.
After question.
They're just
after
absorbing.
Yeah, but they'll ask question.
And they're curious.
Curiosity. That's all it is. They just ask question, and they ask the most crazy questions that I don't have answers to sometimes, or I try to explain to them but they won't understand because they're too young. So I tell them, you know what, get back to me when you get older. But it gives them an idea that, oh, okay, I could ask this question, I won't understand it now, but you know, when they get older they'll understand it, or they'll know to ask so they can understand it, if that makes sense.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So it's you have to keep changing the way you raise your kids. You don't raise them the same way you did when they were 2 years old to when they're five. You're not supposed to raise them the same way you do when they're five, and then when they become right. 10 years old, and when they're 10 to 15 and 20. So you got to keep changing the way you're treating them, change
the
way you speak to them.
I feel like the older they get, you have to...
valuing their opinion also.
Exactly, like validating their opinion and like, in a way, like giving mutual respect to them, because I don't know, sometimes parents just always have that idea, like, I am the parent, you are the child, and therefore respect only goes upward, and you know, there's no like rahmah, there's no reciprocity with like how you speak to each other, and like respect just even like human to human before, you know,
anybody else.
Yeah, but also when you like, I truly believe that when you speak, even as when a child is young, but when you speak to them with respect, that's how they learn. Like, where else are they going to get to see an example of how to speak properly to other people? They'll view it with the way that you speak to your wife. Like, children oftentimes look at their parents and the way that they communicate, but also how you communicate with your child is another thing. So marriage, going back to marriage, in Islam, obviously, like, there, other than, like, the requirement of a man being a Muslim, there's no other requirement when it comes to his age, his... his gender, that kind of matters.
Yeah, you mean
his ethnicity, his race, all that stuff, his upbringing, his socioeconomic status, all of that stuff. He can be younger or, you know, whatever, obviously older. What's your input on that?
So again, I take back that to, it's all about my daughter, you know. If she, for example, whether he's black, whether he's white, whether he's Mexican, whether he's, you know, Canadian, I don't care what he is, as long as he is, of course, a Muslim, then that would be my major concern. And of course, you know, his characteristics and character, you know, I don't want
to
know that.
It doesn't have to be Yemeni.
It doesn't have to be, no. You know, I personally don't care. And I'm, you know, even, you know, al-qabila, or the tribe that he comes from, because, you know, and especially in Yemen and other places, you know, they base that off of that. And that's like something that I wouldn't, yeah, like the lower class, I wouldn't, you know, as they say, give two dangs. Yeah.
You could say it.
I wouldn't, you know, because that has nothing to do with that person in particular. I don't care what his tribe is or what his higher or lower class is. I just want the best person for my daughter. if somebody like me comes wanting my daughter at my age when I went to get married, I would say absolutely no. Just because knowing me, knowing everything, I'm like, no. I don't want somebody way better than that, if that makes sense. So, but alhamdulillah, you know, change, time, you know, I was still young then. So I take that into fact, you know, factor when I'm thinking about anybody in general. They're going to, you know, grow up and they, you know, depends on what age she gets. She might get married.
35.
I'm hoping not, but hey, you know, it's right now they say they don't want to get married and they'll stay with me forever, which I love, don't get me wrong, but you know, marriage
retirement.
It's not about retirement. Marriage is a must for them. I want them to be happy. I want them to have their
own lives.
I want them to have their own kids. I want them.
Believe me, they're going to want that too.
Of course they're going to. They're children right now, but it's something that.
So you know, wait, I have a question then. When you talk about all this, because not many men have that kind of perspective, really just focusing on like the person's character and not care so much about the stuff that you see most people value, which is like that they're from the same, you know, culture, they're from the same ethnicity. People say that that makes things easier. We know that there's sometimes instances in which there would be more support for a girl marrying a guy who's of the same culture, even though he probably is lacking in a lot of areas as a potential like spouse or as a suitor, whereas there's another guy who has like all these great qualities, but because he's black or he's another type of Arab or he's white or whatever it is, then it's like an automatic decline. Like the family would never support that.
I can't answer the question for them because that's everybody in the own thing. I think.
But would you ever advise them or say something?
Of course, I would advise anybody. And it's, you know, the thing is sometimes it's. I think not everybody has this mentality. I think it is a lot of people do. But I think even the ones that don't have the mentality are scared of those people that do have it because they are like. Some people might not mind their daughter maybe marrying, let's just say for example, a non-Arab as long as he's Muslim, or an African American, or anybody in particular, Mexican. But they might be scared of the majority of the people are going to say, oh, what are they going to say?
The backlash.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to say, oh, they married his daughter to a Mexican. Oh, he married his daughter to an African-American. Oh, he married his daughter
to... So that gets to their head and then it
kind of... And they're like, let's just try to stay away from that headache, you know, to where I wouldn't give, you know, again, I wouldn't care about what they think. The only thing I care about is the happiness of my daughter. And of course, of her husband, if they're both happy, you know. Mm-hmm. But they do say happy wife, happy life, so...
Take notes.
Yeah.
Okay, so what do your daughters want to be when they grow up?
Oh man, they're still young and they're switching up every day. And so far, Zahia wants to travel the world, take care of everybody, and teach at the same time.
She could be like an international school teacher.
Yes, but at the same time, she wants to like stop world hunger.
Okay.
Which I personally love that. I think that's one of the biggest problems. Yeah. The biggest problem we have on Earth is I can't believe that people are still, you know.
Starving
and dying of thirst and all that. Sega wants to be a teacher right now. She really likes
What's
to
a teacher?
Like a teacher. She wants to just teach. She wants to teach. She also says she'll travel the world and teach. Sometimes they talk about themselves both going and doing it. Zahi has more of ambition of jumping around everything. She wants to do this and this and that and this and this.
She sounds like me.
Yeah, so
maybe that's where.
No, I try to tell her sometimes focus it down. You know, it's best to focus. You know, get one thing instead of trying to grab 10 and not fully grabbing those 10 things.
That's true. That's when you don't become productive. Like
yeah.
Me.
So yeah,
I can give her some advice on that. Yeah. Send her my way. Your daughters have some like grown up questions.
Yeah. So but with their curiosity, because they're like, why, and you know, and then. This, and every time I try to answer, like, the main question, if you will, 50 questions pop up out of that. And those 50 questions are a lot harder than those other ones. Where, why is this? And I answer that one, and 3 more questions come out of that one. I'm like, huh.
Well, that's, like, kind of one of your tasks as a father, is how to raise a woman. Like, I don't know if the modern-day woman is the right term. I feel like it's not, but I'm going to use it anyway. But in the sense of, there's ambition and there's opportunity. Like there's a lot more opportunity now to do so much around the world and things are just like kind of made more easy. And you have people who like, if you are going to go teach, you know, abroad or whatever, like all that stuff can be paid for. So there's a lot of ambition. So you have to start thinking as a father, like how can I fulfill my daughter's needs in a way that I don't want her to travel alone, but I don't want her to like miss out on a great opportunity. Cause I feel like I faced that a lot when I was in college. I discouraged myself from doing a lot of things because I assumed that I wouldn't be allowed to do them because I'm a woman. And it wasn't until I started like getting overwhelmed by it. And I was like, no, I really want to start doing these things. And like when I started talking to my dad was my dad's the type of person, like, he's so supportive. Like, if he knows it's for something good, he really miss work, or he would, like, literally drive, like, 8 hours if he had to get me to where I need to be, to make sure that his boundaries don't limit my ambitions, if that makes sense.
Yes, that makes perfect. And that's stuff, she'd have to come and ask me, and would have to understand the situation to know if it's possible or if it's not possible. So without me shutting it down automatically, then she would never even, like, let's just say an opportunity came, like you were saying, maybe there's opportunities you had, but you were either too scared, too shy, or just thinking that it wasn't possible. So why even bother? Mm-hmm. Ask and never do it. I don't want my daughters to ever have that. I want them to be like, look, I've always told them, it never hurts to ask me anything. You know, whatever it is, it doesn't hurt to ask me. And then it's either a yes or no.
It's your job to figure it out.
Yeah. So she would come and talk to me, and then we would, of course, try to solve the problem when there is a problem. But if there's a problem and she just says, oh, we'll just stop and never do nothing, we're not talking, then that problem never gets solved. So I try to have that, again, communication with my daughters, both of them, to have that opportunity to where anything could be asked, and then we think about whatever it may be. When it comes to marriage, when it comes to their schooling, when it comes to any their future job or their future careers or what they want to do, it'd be a problem that we all together try to solve it.
This is why I feel like there needs to be more encouraging of parents to be more active in that sense, or like more open and just more involved in their daughter's lives, because we need to nurture the youth, the little girls and the teenage girls and the young adult girls and all these women, that they can't be discouraged by certain things that sometimes we in our heads feel like exist. Like, we feel like we can't do something. One, because we have that internal insecurity of we're not capable of doing it. We're not smart enough. We're not pretty enough. We're not this. But also that, like, we don't have support of our family to do it. Because that's what I experienced. But then it was like, all I had to do was start that conversation with my dad. And he then kind of gave me that comfort to where, till today, like, we constantly have conversations about like what I want to do and everything. And he knows everything that I want to do. And you know everything that I want to do. And like, I can speak to my brothers about it and stuff. I know there's encouragement for it, but I feel like there needs to be more encouragement. And I feel like it is really more powerful when it comes from the father, because oftentimes I feel like that's what women are going to fear is the male presence in their life, that they're not going to accept it. And then there's possible, like, resentment, you know what I mean? People start resenting what they sometimes think in their head is someone else not allowing them to do something that they feel is valuable to their life. Because at the end of the day, women, men, just humans in general, like, we have needs and we have, like, ambitions and we have, like, things we can't control that we want to do. Obviously, there's things that are bad that you have to control, but there's things that we want to do. And it breaks my heart. It makes me really sad when I see women who are ambitious to do things, but they are so discouraged because they have no support within their family.
Yeah, which again,
that's all cultural.
Yes, it's mostly cultural. It all falls back down to, you know, some people are also scared of what people are going to say, like you said, because they're going to say, oh, what are people going to say that, you know? I think we as Muslims need to, first and foremost, not worry about other people, what other people think. Only worry about ourselves and our families. Worry about our kids, our fathers, our mother's opinion when it comes to things that are Islamically right, not just culturally, you know, mm-hmm. appropriate or inappropriate. Of course, you still have your own culture and you can love your culture as long as it doesn't, you know, overrule or overgo the religious route. You know, in Islam, it's perfectly fine for a woman to work. So then the culture, maybe it's not looked down upon. Mm-hmm. Well, that shouldn't matter. Then that should be, you know, oh, no, that doesn't matter because she has a right to work. Mm-hmm. You know, she has the right to do certain things, and that right should be given to her because in our religion, it does give it to her. It doesn't matter about your culture. Just because your culture doesn't give it to her doesn't mean that it overrules our religion. As for, you know, to me, there's no such thing as perfect parents. You know, I love my dad and my mom. They were not perfect. I think they did an amazing job for what limited resources they had coming to this country, never really living in this country, not knowing everything that they, you know, that we were going to go through, going to school, our environment in America.
The difference.
And now I won't never know the same thing with my daughters. I have a better understanding, but it's still, you know, the day and age of how kids are raised today is different than when we were raised with, you know, no internet, no cell phone compared to now where they're, you know,
technology
knowledge,
is.
Knowledge is on the tip of their fingers for any type of knowledge. They could find out anything they wanted to. They could learn bad stuff when they're young just from, you know, the internet, or great stuff. So maybe we learned stuff in school that were bad, but they could learn it now when they're at home. So even if they stood home all day, they could still be badly influenced by anything in general, internet, TV. So I had to give anybody a recommendation that's listening to this. It's first and foremost, don't worry about other people's problems or what other people are going to say about you. Just worry about yourself.
The needs of your family.
Yes. Let's stop judging other people and then just worry about our own sins. You know, we all have sins. Let's not worry about, you know, unless they're close to you or a friend or family you want to come, like, you know, give advice to. At the end of the day, you can't really force anything on anybody. So I wouldn't look down on anybody because, you know, everybody has skeletons in their closets. Mm-hmm. So let's just not try to look all, you know, goody-two-shoe, whatnot, because, you know, if somebody had a camera on themselves 24/7, everybody else seen it, they'd see so many flaws in itself. So give advice, and that's all you can do at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Me as a parent, you know, again, I'm not going to be perfect. I'm sure that if my daughters ever did a podcast 10, 15, 20 years from now, and they talk about parenting, you know, they'd be like, if they just list the things maybe I messed up on, it'd be a long list, you know. And of course, a long list of the good things.
They're
hopefully
gonna
I did too.
They're going to carry on the legacy of this podcast.
But what I'm saying is that we can't worry about, you know, making mistakes sometimes with our children. We must try. I mean, I do somewhat worry about it, but
you learn from it.
You learn from it, but we must try to do our best, and that's it. You know, we must try to get involved in it. It's something that we'll, you know, have to get very involved with our children to understand, because every kid's different. My daughters, alhamdulillah, I think, are very good kids, and they might be different from other kids, you know, for
they're whatever. Different from each other.
They're different from each other. They're very different, and they're very alike. Very alike.
Yeah.
And very different at the same time. It's amazing how that works out. And you have to have understanding with your kids. I believe that's one key issue, is having an open communication at all times. Your children, if you keep an open channel, will always come to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you talk to them regularly, there is no certain age that I don't believe. I believe I've been talking to my daughters since they were 2, 3, 4 years old, talking to them about certain things, not everything, but trying to talk to them and let them understand about
adult conversation, not adult conversations, but have conversations,
yeah, but real conversations that you sometimes be like, she's kind of too young to understand. It's like, you know, you try to break it down a little lower, like whether it be about religion. Even when my daughter first started going to school, when she was 4/5 years old, the funny thing is, she's seen this Muslim girl. I don't know where was that school or whatever, but I guess she was a older girl. I guess she looked very young, but I guess she was like 16, 17, whatever. And she wasn't wearing a hijab either. And she had a little nose piercing. So my daughter comes to me and tells me, you know, like, is it haram for a girl to have a nose piercing? Didn't know how to answer that because I really don't know if it is or isn't. So I kind of paused, like, you know, it's a good question. I really don't know. I know women can have piercings, men can't. But I don't know about nose piercings. You know, I'm going to have to find that out and get back to you. But I understood why she was asking. I'm assuming she wanted a nose piercing. I'm like, why? Do you want a nose piercing? She's like, no, maybe. I don't know, you know.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, she's just curious in a way. I tell her, you know, honestly, like, I don't know. I'd have to, you know, there's certain things I don't know. So, you know, I'm going to try to find out for you. And,
well, it's good that you didn't just say no, because you probably would prefer that she didn't have a nose piercing. So you go the no route without even, like, actually looking into it and giving her the right answer.
Well, it's not about no, because I don't want her to. So if I told her no, it's haram to have a nose piercing, and it isn't. First, that's a sin on my part. Second of all, if she ever was to, maybe in the future when she gets older, find out it's not, for example. I don't know if it is or isn't. I still haven't found out. But let's just say it isn't, right? Then she goes, huh, but my father lied to me, or...
What else did he lie to me about?
Yeah, not even about that. She might just think that's something small or something. But I could tell her, for example, if it let's just say it's not haram. I'm like, oh, it's not, but I don't want you to get one, you know? Or maybe I wouldn't mind, okay, it's not haram, and she wants one. I wouldn't get her one now when she's 15, 16, 17, 18. Maybe, again... That's something that she'd have to decide at that time point or whatever. But
do you think I have the nose for a nose piercing?
I don't want to say it on this podcast. You delete everything.
Just kidding.
Okay, so something that I also try to encourage my daughters is to have their own opinion. And kids, when they're young, is at least that I see in my daughters, that they always want to, you know, pick everything I pick. You know, if we go from colors and I say blue's my favorite color, they want to say me too. And they want to, like, us to have the same, you know, opinions in a way. And that's something that I try to have my daughters have. I want them to break off of that and have their own. I try to let them understand that they can't be wrong when it comes to certain opinions. So, you know, for example, if a food, do you like this food or this food? It's an opinion. There's no right answer to it. Then
subjective
I want them,
stuff.
Yeah, I want them to have, you know, to know that if they picked an opinion and that's their opinion, then they can't be wrong. I think they should be open-minded to anything, of course, to try maybe new food or new something else. But at the end of the day, if they do and they still like their opinion, to, you know, perfectly be fine and say,
and
no.
Be confident in having.
Yeah, I liked my opinion that it was. I liked the color blue. You know, I seen yellow. It was nice too, but I prefer, you know, blue better than that. Or, you know, I ate hamburgers. I love them, but I like pizza just more. You know, at the final of the day.
Or they might say that they don't want to eat animal products.
No, that's not an opinion. There's no opinion.
Didn't one of your daughters stop eating meat?
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah, I hate you guys.
So there you go. And she's only 8.
Well, she hasn't fully stopped. I just kicked back there.
She's taking a big step.
She's taking a pretty big step. She's trying to. I don't know if I should say this on the podcast, but I don't know if Emma wants you to know this or not, but I got her.
No.
I got her.
What do you mean you got her?
I made her eat. She's a vegan now.
No, I know she's vegan. Emmett's my oldest, the oldest sister.
I got her, yes.
And she went vegan for a while.
You know how I got her?
Swear.
What? Cookies. Not just any cookies.
There's no meat in cookies.
Not meat, but she's a vegan. She's not technically not supposed to eat the...
What did you get her? I know what you got her. You got her Girl Scout cookies. Probably her husband eats them and she's just like...
No.
You know,
no.
Trying to make you feel better.
Nope. I know I got her good. Oh, I got her.
That's fine. It doesn't hurt me. Oh my God. Everything's a competition with you.
It did.
No, it didn't.
You're like, oh my Stop. God. Play that back.
Okay, no.
Play that back. You're like,
no. Oh On that God. Note, thank you so much for joining me. I don't know if there's anything else that you'd like to say.
This podcast sucks. No.
Starting
no.
with this episode.
Let's take a step back. First and foremost, I don't get my recognition for being a producer in this podcast.
He has no hand in this at all.
I am like the founder of this.
Okay, he provided some equipment.
All the equipment.
The microphone you're talking on right now and this one are not yours.
Because you don't want to use my nice ones. That are
no,
better
it's
than
just, this.
This
is like convenient. I've Anyways, never given you anything. This is going to go on forever because this is what happens with siblings.
I want this to be in the very beginning when you talk about, say,
no,
my guest brother, executive producer, and the.
Calm down.
Whatever.
This is a one woman show.
That's what I'm going to name
Muslim
my podcast.
Girl. This is me. What?
A one woman show run by a man. That's going to be so funny.
You're stupid. Okay, bye, guys.
Wassalamu.
Thank you for listening in, and I hope you enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to like and follow This Muslim Girl podcast on all social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, check out the blog thismuslimgirl.com, where you can find all content information from this and all previous episodes.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.